Hey, welcome back to the podcast, guys. It's your favorite inconsistent YouTuber. You know, if you're a returning subscriber, I appreciate you guys always tuning in, listening, and supporting the channel. And if you're new, I pray that something in this encourages you, challenges you, or just simply pushes you further into your walk with God. So I'll get straight into it. There's been something that's been, I believe God has been dealing with me about personally. So that's what I feel as though he wanted me to share with you guys. Because as you can see from the title, in regards to waiting on God, I feel as though a lot of times when we're dealing with this waiting season, we're always worrying about when it's going to happen. God, when am I going to get that spouse? God, when are we going to have that baby? God, when are we going to get that degree? God, when are you going to give me that job, that promotion? Whatever it is, we're always focused on when something is going to happen. And they call that destination addiction, whereas you can never fully be present where you are, but you're constantly waiting on the next door to open. And a lot of times we pray, God, do this. God, I need you to come through in this way, shape, or form, that we don't even realize that we're currently living in one of the things we were praying for. The fact that you have a job to complain about is proof that God has been providing, you know what I mean? But it's so easy for us to focus on where we want God to show up next. And I think it's super important for us to understand that I believe God is more concerned about how we wait rather than how long we wait. Because everybody, I'm anointed to do this. And we think because you're anointed, you rush and you go straight into that season that God has called you to. When in reality, David was anointed to be king, and then it took years before that happened. Like God says in regards to Jeremiah, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you and I ordained you to be, I sanctified you and ordained you to be a prophet. But he wasn't born a prophet. He ordained him to become that. God sees the ending from the beginning. So while you are going through your season of confusion, of waiting and not knowing where God has been there all along. So it's some things that God has been laying on my heart, because while you may be a single person listening to this and your mindset is, God, I'm waiting on that spouse. God, I'm waiting on that new relationship. Well, me, finishing up school, there ended up being a job freeze on a position that I had, and it was a whole lot of confusion. So me, my thing is, I'm waiting on God to open a door for a paycheck. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you pray for what you're praying for, and I'm trusting God for what I'm trusting God for. But we have to understand that God is not necessarily concerned about how long it takes for the miracle to happen. We see that he was willing to promise Abraham something. And I believe that if God told you you were going to have a child, you're looking at it like, all right, bet. 9 months from now, I better be in labor. You know what I mean? But when God said that to Abraham, Abraham had to wait over 20 years. So when God says he's going to do something, he is going to do it. But we have to focus more on him rather than how long. So the first thing I want to tell us about our waiting period. The waiting period is when I believe, during the waiting period is where God is getting rid of the jealousy that's inside of us. Because I think a lot of times we get jealous and envious when God opens the door for someone else that we thought he was going to open for us. Now, you don't have to say amen. You can pretend you've never been in that situation before. You can pretend you've never been a hater. You know what I mean? But I know what it means to, you're serving God. You love God. You're faithful to church. You give to the church. You give to the community, whatever it is. And then the job that you're desiring, somebody who's not even saved got it, and you didn't get a job. And you're wondering, will I be evicted? Will I lose my home? When you're praying for God to send a healing, and then the person who's an atheist, they're in good health, but you're struggling with a sickness. I know what it is for us to feel jealous and envious, and we don't realize the enemy is trying to place a seed of bitterness in our hearts against God. Because he wants us to feel as though, man, you're blessing everybody else, man, but I'm forgotten. You know, the Bible tells us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But it's so easy to quote that. But when you're in those moments and you feel forgotten, it's very easy for you to forget what God is trying to show you. But one of the things I want us to see way back in Genesis, Cain and Abel, Genesis 4, 3 through 5, it says, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. So we see Cain was mad that God blessed someone else and not him. Abel brought the best gift that he could bring God. Cain just brought a gift, mediocrity, which is the issue with Christianity today. So same thing happened with Cain and Abel is happening in the church today. People want to give God the bare minimum. God, I don't give to the church, but I expect a promotion. God, I only show up at church when I need a miracle. You know, I only pray when I need you to heal me. You know, it's like we approach God with, here's five seconds before I go to bed for prayer. But we want God to show up. The moment we need him, we want him to show up. And it's not to sit there and rebuke you. We've all been there. But I want us to see that it's very easy for us to be like Cain, whereas you don't offer as much, but you're mad when things don't work out your way. And this is not to say the moment you give, God automatically opens the door, because that's basically prosperity gospel, you know. But I want us to be clear that there's a, like the Bible says, you know, given will be given back to you. And while that verse wasn't talking about money, it was showing a principle of sowing and reaping, you know. So God is able to open doors. So while we're over there complaining, why did they get a promotion and I didn't get one? Well, probably they do more work than you do. You know, because we all want somebody else's anointing and someone else's mantle, and we don't do anything that they did to receive that. You have no idea the hard work some people went through to get to where God has them. So it's so easy for us to be jealous, but if you want God to bless you, you have to pay more attention to God and stop focusing on what he's doing in everyone else's life. Because in my brain, if God is blessing everyone around me, I need to still be hopeful and excited knowing he's still able to do it, which means that should be an encouragement to my heart. Your testimony should uplift me, not cause me to feel insecure or cause me to feel forgotten by God. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 12, 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Church people, we ain't got no problem with weeping. You know, somebody else is miserable. We want to be miserable with them. Misery loves company. We're there in the middle of the trial with them. But the moment somebody else gets the job, and you broke, it's so hard for some people to be happy for you. Like, they love you when you're doing good. They just hate you when you're doing better than them. You know what I mean? It's just a crabs in a barrel mentality. But I want us to see that God doesn't want us operating like Cain. What he told Cain is, all you have to do is give a better offering. You know, when you're hurt and you're allowing the anger to get the best of you, sin is crouching at the door. So it's so easy for you to feel as though, oh, I blessed him, and that means God is picking favorites. God is not picking favorites. He's no respecter of persons. So understand that we have to get rid of that jealousy in the season you find yourself in. So if you're a single person and you're in your waiting period and you're waiting on marriage, you should not be being bitter when you see those people on the timeline pop up in relationships, pop up engaged, pop up married. Now understand, it may be good for your mental health, you know, to log off and not follow all these relationship couples and all these things if that's all you're seeing on your timeline. But you cannot allow bitterness to be in your heart rather than rejoicing that someone else is blessed. Because if that's what you want, I believe God pays attention to our hearts and our motives. And if he sees you're only happy when you get your way and you can't celebrate anybody else, to me, it will always be you waiting on another miracle, because it's hard for it to be your turn when you can only celebrate if it benefits you. The second thing about the waiting period, we have to understand, that's where you grow spiritually. It's like so many singles that are like, Tavares, you're saying this because you're married. Oh yeah, cool story, bro. And it's like, I get that. I get their frustration. But this is where you seek God. Because there are so many people that rush into relationships, have no idea the type of person that they're with until they're married. But you would have full clarity if you had an actual relationship with God before the person. You have to know God's voice before the person. You have to know God's voice before you accept the job. You have to know God's voice before you go step into another season that God never called you to. Because if you're making decisions based off of your emotions, you will be led astray every single time. Proverbs 3 tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. This waiting period is meant for you to be seeking God. Like I told you guys, David was anointed to be king, but that didn't happen immediately. So we want to just get anointed and get right into the promised land. Oh, I'm single? No, right into marriage. I'm broke? Right into the promotion. I'm this. You know, you want to get right into it rather than seeing where God has you currently. And it's so important that we learn where God has us. Joseph, he received these visions from God and he's like, oh, you're going to be raised up to a certain point. And he's telling his family and all of them are looking at him like, we about to bow to you? Oh, you're God's favorite? Dad already loves you more than the rest of us. And he didn't realize that it was going to take him years before he got to that point. It took a long time. Abraham received that promise of the child, but it took years. You're in good company when you're forced to wait. I know we don't like to hear it. I know we don't like to believe it. But when you wait, it teaches you to depend on God because you have to learn his grace is sufficient. Because if God's grace wasn't keeping you as a single, you'd be out there in all kind of perversion. If God's grace wasn't keeping you when you didn't have a job, you would have been homeless. Like, we have to learn to depend on God. And I believe that sometimes the trick of the enemy is to get us to move ahead of God and do exactly what Abraham did. The Bible shows us that Abraham is the man of faith, you know? But instead of seeking God for direction and clarity and when is it going to happen, how is it going to happen, you know, or trusting God, he took things into his own hands. So God promises him and Isaac, but then his emotions, you know, the emotions of his wife frustrate him and push him into the hands of another woman, and he creates something that God never intended. So God's promise of a seed would be Isaac, but then it turns out that he creates his own destiny moving ahead of God and brings Ishmael into the picture. I had to do a long dramatic pause just because the neighbors decided to be loud the moment I'm finally recording. But we have to avoid what Abraham did. God promised them Isaac, and then we settle for our Ishmael. So we're like, well, God, you're taking too long, so I got to go get something. I got to leave here with something, Denzel voice. You know what I mean? So they're not saved, but at least you're no longer single. It's not the job you should be in, but at least you're not unemployed. It's not the church that God said to attend, but at least you're not staying home. You know what I mean? And it's like God wants us to learn to trust his perfect will instead of being led by emotions, because many times it's our emotions that make these decisions. And instead of waiting on God and trusting his timing, we're allowing, you know, I don't think the devil has to defeat you or send some spiritual warfare. All he has to do is get you to operate out of your emotions and you'll destroy yourself every single time. The third thing I want you to understand about the waiting period is that this is where God heals you emotionally. Because a lot of people, they go into relationships and they're still bitter. They get into these new relationships and they're still hurt from what the ex did. They have the insecurities. All women are this. All men are that. And it's like you're driven by all of the pain and the baggage. So it's like God wants to open a door. But imagine God trying to bless you and you refuse to let go of the bitterness. Too broken to receive the healing that he's trying to give you. God is trying to send you a healthy relationship, but you're so used to everyone mistreating you, judging you, cheating, that you can't even receive that. So we have to understand that while you're waiting on God, you have to take inventory of where you are emotionally, because there are a lot of people, they like to call emotionally unavailable people. They like to say that, but I think an aspect of emotional availability that people don't realize is the fact that they might be single, but they are not in the place that they should be in because of their perspective on relationships. So you can't go to the next job assuming this manager is going to have a beef with you like the last one did. Whatever season it is you're waiting on, God wants to heal you before, because the purpose he has for you after you reach that pinnacle, wherever that is, you can't have that same bitterness, bro. It's not going to work. Genesis 50, 19 through 21, but Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good, He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. So he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. So we see that Joseph has every right to be bitter. He has every right to be angry and feel as though, nah, y'all don't deserve my love. Y'all don't deserve my respect. And I fully, and all of us could agree. Like, we'd all probably be in the same type of shoes as he was. But the problem is, God is not operating off of that bitterness. God wants you to heal. Imagine God trying to bless you. Imagine God bringing Joseph to the point where all these visions come to pass. And God is showing him, finally, this is what I was showing you in those dreams. But he is so upset that his brothers sold him into slavery that he wants to give them revenge. He wants to torture them. And he wants to be angry with them rather than realizing, your anger set me up in a position for God to use me. So what I believe is, a lot of people that we're broken against, we're bitter against, a lot of them were pushing us into the position where God needed us to be for him to get the glory. So you're mad at that ex, but God knew if they weren't going to break your heart, he was never going to get your attention. You're mad that you got fired from that job or the funds were low, but God knew if you didn't have low finances, you were never going to realize who he was, because you were always going to view your job as what sustained you. So I believe that God allows these uncomfortable situations because he wants us to heal. But before I go a little bit further, I want to let you guys know this show was sponsored by BetterHelp. A lot of times we have a, like, picture it like a social battery. And, you know, a lot of times we're drained, or you're on a high, whatever. Unfortunately, a lot of people wait, you know, until that social battery is pretty thin before they recharge. I don't know what your methods are. I like to use the gym, obviously church, you know, spending time with family, and that allows me to recharge. But there are a lot of people who you don't have that community, and there are some draining factors in your life that have caused you to be in, you know, broken states. And I believe that if you haven't tried therapy before, that you should be willing to give BetterHelp a try, because this is something that everyone mentions as liberating, or it allowed them to access parts of them that they didn't realize were still broken or still wounded. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You can fill out a brief questionnaire, and that way they'll pair you to the right therapist that you need, and then you can always switch the person anyways. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/godly today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/godly. But like I was saying, in regards to emotional, in that waiting period, you need to be willing to heal. You need God to touch that brokenness, you know what I mean? And you should not neglect it. Don't just ask God to open the next door, but address that so God can heal you. And the last thing I want to tell us is that you have to take in an inventory of the environment that you're in. I've seen people get all kind of breakthroughs at church. I told this story at a church I spoke at recently. Guys, if you need us to speak at your churches, shoot us a DM or an email. Email is probably best. I do not see all of the DMs. But it was a gentleman, you know, he got delivered from, you know, spirit of homosexuality. He literally looks like a completely different person. Next time you saw him, he changed his hair, took off the nails. You know, a lot of the mannerisms changed. He was coming faithfully to the church. And then months later, you know, he worked as a, maybe I told you guys this on the podcast. Sorry if you guys are hearing this for the 100th time. But he worked in a salon, and if you know anything about a woman's salon, it's all women there. And if you're a man there, typically you're, you know, flaming. You're on the other side of the fence, you know, and unfortunately, he never changed his environment. So while God was doing a work on the inside of him, he was never really separating himself from the things that once held him bound. And I think the reason why he went back to that lifestyle was because of the environment. So we could say, oh, he never loved God. He wasn't really, you could judge people all you want. But the truth is, if you keep placing yourself in an environment to fall, you will fall. So you're waiting on God to do something. Give God a room to work. The Bible mentions in I believe Kings, I can't remember if it's Elijah or Elisha. Sorry that I'm bringing up a story and I didn't study early enough to get this to you, but God just like popped that idea in my head. But they made a room for whenever the prophet would come to town, he would have somewhere to sleep. And I believe that's how it should be with God. You're giving God room into your life. You're making sure that there's space for God. And then you're willing to allow God to operate in that space. So in our minds, in our churches, in our schools, on our jobs, whatever, you have to take inventory of your environment. Let's put it this way. On your Spotify playlist, your Apple playlist, on your YouTube, on your Netflix, on your Hulu, on your TV, you need to take inventory of the things that you're entertaining. I heard a saved woman, Christian woman, married woman, mentioning, and it ain't my church, so y'all don't even think you're going to be able to guess who it is. But there was a person who mentioned that, yeah, they watch X-rated films in their marriage between them and a spouse. And I'm not going to go too far deep into it because that's in my brain. I believe that everyone listening to this audience, you know, guys, that's part of Godly Gang. I know y'all are starving for purity and you guys know the stance I take against it. But it's the fact that makes perfect sense why that person operates the way they do. Because if you allow a little bit of perversion into your life, you can't be. Oh, I want to be pure. I want to be used by God and just say, okay, just a little bit of perversion in my life. I want to be healthy. I'm going to just smoke a little bit of weed. You know what I'm saying? You can't just be a little bit into the world because that playing the fence in church, taking God for a joke, all those things, it pulls people out of the church. You see it over and over. That person who thinks they can just do a little bit. And then unfortunately, you realize that they lose their way. Because the devil will always take you further than you were planning on going. Ungodly voices will always lead you astray from the plan of God. You have to be willing to take inventory of those shows that you think, oh, well, I'm not acting on it. Listen, all the devil has to do is plant a seed into your heart, plant a seed into your mind. And then he will get you to start acting out on things that you should have never been in to begin with. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Listen, I don't care how holy you are. I don't care how much you seek God. I don't care how much you pray and you speak in tongues. I don't care how many church services you make it to. If all of my friends don't love God and they're always pushing me to do nonsense, there will be a time when I compromise. Jesus hung with sinners. Tavares, what are you talking about? We're supposed to hang around unsaved people. Yeah, Jesus hung out with them with the intention of witnessing. He didn't hang out with them to fit in. Oh, they trying to get drunk and get high, so let me pull up at a party. That's not what Jesus was doing. The goal was, I'm doing this to reach them, and I'm not partaking in any of their actions. But the longer you keep playing with certain environments, eventually you start getting enticed by the things of this world. But if we want God to do great things in our lives, we want to see freedom in our lives, we have to be willing to adjust our environment. A lot of people are like, how am I supposed to be holy? To be holy means to be set apart. And none of us are going to be perfect. The only one who's going to be perfect is God. But the Bible calls us to that. Be ye therefore perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Meaning he's calling you, and the word perfect there means maturity. But he's calling you to that point of you're no longer making excuses, but you're constantly striving to please him. Because it's not a matter of rules. It's a matter of relationship. Safi ain't telling me, hey, don't go do this. No, my goal is I should love her enough to avoid things that'll put me in a position to be foolish. If that makes sense. But I hope this waiting period, this waiting season that you're in, doesn't frustrate you too much that you don't realize that God has great plans for your life. And if you have never checked out a book, Godly Dating 101. Check this out on Amazon, Target. You get it whatever you can get in whatever bookstores, Books a Million, all the stores that you're in, you can get our book. But we love you guys. We appreciate you rocking with us despite the video just not being as consistent. But I promise you guys, graduation is in a month. I graduated in less than a month. And I still need you guys' prayers because I'm trying to, I have to pass that NCLEX. and also prayers in regards to getting this job, because the job freeze that just happened with the position that I had, now your boy's over here living on a prayer and some savings. But I love y'all. See y'all soon. Be blessed in Jesus' name.